anybody ever been to an opera workshop at a tank museum? It was good. It was good, actually. The opera bit I quite enjoyed. And then afterwards, once we'd finished that bit, the teacher, who was quite enthusiastic about tanks, he was a science teacher, so I don't know if that follows, but sorry to science teachers, but he was really enthusiastic about tanks, and he said, "You've got another hour before we have to go home. You can go and look around the tanks again. Great." And we all went, because I'm just not that interested in tanks. And we'd already looked around once. And so we decided that instead of going around the tank museum, we were going to go outside in the sunshine and play. Now, I was 16, and it was amazing, and we just ran around in the sunshine and played. I think we played Stuck in the Mud for like an hour. And when I think about it now, I realise that the reason why it sticks in my mind so much is because I felt completely free to be myself. So all that pressure to be cool and mature and all that stuff that is particularly strong when you're 16 just melted away, and I ran around like a lunatic. I ran around like my inner seven-year-old, and I wasn't worried about what anyone thought, and it was really great. I felt free, and I wonder if you've ever felt like that. There is a pleasure in making yourself vulnerable, in letting down the walls, and showing who you really are, and finding that actually you're accepted, that you're loved. It meets that deep need that we have to be loved. And so we find real freedom in that, in being able to be ourselves. So why don't we experience this more often? What stops us the rest of the time? Because I don't know about you, but I much more often find that I'm directed by, well, actually fear, rather more than freedom in my behavior. Fear of what people think, fear of not meeting their expectations, fear that I'll somehow be rejected because I'm not funny enough or cool enough or helpful enough or just not enough. So I don't let my walls down. I don't make myself vulnerable. And instead, I actually put on masks to hide my not enoughness. And sometimes I find that depending on who I'm with, I'll actually exaggerate certain parts of my character that I know they'll approve of to try and ensure their acceptance of me. I'm not suggesting that we should all act like our inner seven-year-olds all the time, unless, of course, you are seven, which some of you might be. But this whole fear of what people think thing, it's really tiring, isn't it? Always trying to impress friends, teachers, colleagues, parents, your boss, the whole world, it feels like sometimes. It's tiring. And it's just not how it's supposed to be. It's just not how it's supposed to be. So we see here in the Bible that Jesus says in John chapter 8, he says, "Those who the Son sets free are free indeed. Those who the Son sets free are free indeed." Which sounds quite good, doesn't it? I like the idea of that. What would it be like to be free indeed? And maybe you're not a Christian here tonight, but you think, actually, I quite like that idea of being really free, of being free from fear of what others think, of being free to be myself. Or maybe you've actually been following Jesus for years, but you struggled to answer my question at the start about when you felt most free. And you certainly struggle to describe yourself as free indeed. And I think it comes down to this. I think there are two different voices out there that are trying to get our attention. And this freedom thing comes down to which of those voices we choose to listen to. One is the voice of the world, and the other is the voice of God. And I want to try and show us tonight that real freedom is found when we listen to God's voice, when we let him tell us who we are and what our value is. So later on, I'm going to read you some parts in the Bible and to see what God has to say about those things. And I also want to show you that when we don't do that, when we listen to the wrong voice, we get ourselves into all sorts of problems. We get ourselves trapped behind more and more masks, and we're never able to come out and really let the walls down and be ourselves and have that amazing freedom. So let's think about the voice of the world to start with. What does the voice of the world say to us? I think it's something like this. It's something like, so you want to feel loved and valued and accepted? Okay, just meet these standards. Just be like this. And what this is varies depending on which group of people you want to be accepted by. So it might be you need to pretend that you don't care about school and you need to be funny. It might be you need to have a really ruthless attitude to your career to get ahead. It might be you need to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It might be that you need to be always in control and cheerful and generally unfazed by anything. And most of them also have some kind of standard about what you should look like, what you should wear. And if you think that that sounds actually quite manageable, don't be fooled, because those standards change as well. They don't stay the same. Depending on what celebrities are up to or current affairs in the world, all sorts of things affect what those standards are at any given time. And actually, in a lot of ways, our whole society and economy depends on us never quite reaching a standard, always needing to buy that new thing or needing to try to keep up. So we think, can I actually do that? Can I actually meet those standards? And even if I could, can I ever actually be secure? If I meet those standards and I'm accepted, can I be safe in that? Because aren't they just going to change anyway? And the voice of the world says, no one is going to accept you as you are. So if you can't meet those standards, you just have to pretend. Pretend to be all those things. Pretend to be on top of things. And if you try hard enough, maybe you'll be okay. And that's where the masks come from. We pretend that we don't care or do care, depending on what the standards require. And we constantly look to other people to validate us, to tell us that we're doing okay, that we're meeting the standards, that we're accepted. It's like a rubber stamp on our lives. This person is okay. They meet the standards. So we end up, I don't know about you, but I certainly end up feeling exhausted and fearful and confused, actually. Because there's all these different masks that you have to put on depending on who you're with. I don't know, have you ever noticed that your behaviour is different depending on whether you're with your family or your friends or with your colleagues or with your boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse or online? And I just want to pause for a moment on that, because I think that social media is a place where all this comes into very sharp focus. Now, some of you don't use social media, some of you do, and don't get me wrong, this is not a social media bashing session, so I think social media can be a really good thing. I use it. It gets people connected, it helps us to share creativity, and actually I think it can break down some of the walls, because it provides a platform for us to invite people into our lives in a way that actually perhaps we wouldn't do normally. But I think we have to ask ourselves when we're doing this, are we actually letting the walls down? Or instead, are we just replacing them with a kind of outward-facing mirror, a kind of fake openness? We often think that social media is the ultimate place of expression, but it's actually the perfect mask, isn't it? We can project whatever image we like, and we do. We carefully vet all the pictures, the comments, the posts that we have, in order to give people the best possible picture of who we are, what we look like, and how we spend our time. It can be a kind of artificial vulnerability, and it doesn't bring freedom at all. And all the time, everything we post, we're asking that question constantly, asking people, validate me, am I okay? Am I meeting the standard? And it's not actually even at this point the real us that we're asking them to validate. It's a kind of tweaked us that we've carefully constructed to meet the standard. Am I accepted? Am I liked? And so in this, we allow social media and the people that we interact with through it this incredible power over our sense of worth and our sense of identity, and actually our mood as well. So just, I don't know if any of you have ever felt that amazing soaring heights of when you post a photo or a comment and you get 50, 60, 70 likes or shares or hearts or retweets or whatever. Some of you are going, what? But yeah. And it feels really good. It really does. You feel really validated. I think the best I ever managed was when I was posting stuff about us getting engaged and the likes sort of totted up and you go, oh, people like me, how nice. And it does feel really good. And then there's that awful, crushing feeling when you post something and there is no response whatsoever. No response. And it might have been a comment that you thought was funny, or a picture of your dinner, or a lovely sunset, but there's no response. And we are absolutely crushed. It's genuinely upsetting. And you think, why is this upsetting me so much? And you find yourself constantly checking for notifications. Somebody, please respond to this. Why? And actually, this happened to me once, and I thought, I actually feel ashamed. I actually feel genuinely embarrassed and ashamed because I've posted a comment and no one's responded. And you think, why? It was just a comment about rain flooding the garden. But it's because it feels like rejection. And it feels like public rejection. And it hurts. And there's also the comparison that comes in. So I've heard it said that that it's a bit like comparing your everyday life with someone else's highlights reel. Which is really true, isn't it? Because actually, the people that you're comparing yourself with, they're vetting and carefully constructing their online identity just as much as you are. But you look at it and see all the amazing stuff and you think, I can't compare with that. And you just end up feeling a bit rubbish. And all of that, all of those ups and downs, those emotional turmoils and the fact that it has an identity, all of that just comes from a careless tap of a finger. What kind of freedom is that? I don't think that's the kind of freedom that Jesus was talking about. So you might not use social media, or you might use social media, I don't know. But either way, I feel like it's us all going around all the time with this big hashtag love me sign over our heads. Love me. Please love me. Am I loved? Am I worthwhile? And it's just not good for us. It's not that we should pretend that we don't need to be loved, because we do. It's a very real need, and it's programmed into us. But it's by asking the world, asking people to affirm us, to tell us how loved we are, that we get into this mess, because our mood, our sense of security, our identity is inextricably tied to how people respond to us at any given moment. And I don't want my freedom and my sense of well-being to depend on whether someone likes my comment enough to click a button, or whether the boss at work liked my idea. And actually, also, I just want to say, it's not all about us being the victim of everyone else, because sometimes when you describe that, it makes it feel like it's you versus the world and they make you feel rubbish. But actually, it's our responsibility too, because it's about us loving other people well. And when we look to others to validate us, we end up putting really unfair pressure on them, because you're placing your very identity in their hands. And basically saying to them, if you make a mistake, you will crush me. You will crush me. And everyone makes mistakes, don't they? So it's just an unfair pressure to put on them. And we're in this series about love and relationships, like Jason said. And last time we talked about how God's pattern for relationships is faithfulness and sacrifice. Not using other people to boost our self-esteem and sense of worth. So that is the voice of the world. And I don't think that sounds very much like free indeed. So let's look at the other voice. What does God say about who we are and what our worth is? Well, I'm actually going to let God speak for himself, because we believe that we have a God who speaks in lots of different ways, but particularly through his word, through the Bible, and through his Holy Spirit working in our hearts. So what I'm going to do is actually just read you a part of the Bible. I'm going to read you part of a psalm, Psalm 139, which is basically, it's from the point of view of a man addressing God. And I'm going to pray before I read it. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to you, speak to me while I read it. And it might be that a certain line really sticks in your mind, really resounds with your heart. And if that happens, that might be something that God really wants you to hear tonight. So hold on to it. And it might help you, as I read this, to close your eyes, or even put your hands out in front of you, and just be ready, be expectant, that God wants to speak to you tonight. So I'm going to pray. Father, thank you that you are the God who speaks. And I pray that you would come and speak to us now. I pray that you'd help us to hear your voice in this psalm. Whether we've heard these words 1,000 times, or whether this is the first time, Lord, help us to hear by your Holy Spirit what you have to say to us tonight about who we are. So I'm going to read Psalm 139. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me, and you tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord. You both precede and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up in the morning, you are still with me. He knows you. He sees you. He knows when you sit down or stand up. And it's not like a teacher watching you to see if you make mistakes. He knows you in the way that you actually long to be known, long to be seen. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Do you know that means that he saw your fingernails start to grow? He saw your organs start to take shape. He knows the exact moment when your heart began to beat. And he knew what it was going to beat for. Remember, it said that every day of your life was recorded in his book, every moment laid out before a single day was passed. So he knew what you'd enjoy. He knew what would make you afraid. He knew who you were going to fall in love with. He knows you. Not just the you that you present on Instagram or the you that you show your friends. The real you, the raw you, the good and the bad. He knows you. And he loves you. He loves you. You don't need to hide from him. In fact, actually, you couldn't if you tried. There is no wall you could put up or mask you could put on. You can't hide from him. Remember, it said, even darkness is as light to you. So actually, you're vulnerable. You are vulnerable before him. He sees you. But you are safe because he loves you. He loves you, and that won't change. That is a firm, firm foundation. And you have intrinsic value because you're his creation, his workmanship. And that doesn't change according to how many likes you get or what other people think of you. Remember, his thoughts about you outnumber the grains of sand. You are fully known and fully loved by the one whose opinion really counts. Just let that truth just wash over you. You might even start to feel the first kind of glimmers of freedom in your heart, fully known and fully loved. And that freedom that you might be starting to feel is because it says in the Bible that perfect love casts out all fear. And what I'm describing to you is perfect love. Now, with that in mind, what I'm about to say might surprise you. Because actually, in God's eyes, there's still a standard to be met. And you might think, no, that was the first voice. This one's all about unconditional love and acceptance. How can there still be a standard? And actually, what's more, the first voice, the voice of the world, gives us this standard to live up to, set by people, and we can't make it, so we have to fake it. But guess what? God's standard is even higher. So the world asks us to conform to its idea of what perfection is, but God's standard is actual perfection, because he is perfect, so how could he want anything less for those he loves? And God's standard isn't about what you look like either. The Bible says that God doesn't look at the outside like the world does, but he looks at the heart. God's standard is all about what's going on in here. And I can't put masks on and pretend, because remember, God really knows me. I can't fool him. And I think we all know that no matter how much we try and kind of get around it and say, well, I'm better than him or I'm better than her, we just can't live up to perfection. It says it here in the Bible in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's what sin is, not meeting God's standard of perfection. And the Bible also says that the consequences of that sin is death. So what does that mean? Have we traded one unreachable standard for another? Well, this is where we need to listen to what the voices are actually saying. Because the world says, you can't meet the standard. Just try harder. Do whatever it takes. Fake it. Maybe you'll be accepted. Maybe you'll be okay. God says, you can't meet the standard. You can't meet the standard. I'll meet it for you. I will meet it for you. And that is what Jesus did on the cross. Because Jesus really could meet the standard. He was perfect. If our lives are like sheets of paper, then Jesus is pure, white, pristine, completely blank. And ours would be like that screwed up, ink-stained mess on the floor where you've tried a thousandth time to start your essay and just failed. And on the cross, Jesus exchanged our sheet for his, which means he gets the consequences for not meeting God's glorious standard, which is death. And we get his purity. We get what's known as his righteousness, meaning that when God looks at us, he sees someone who meets God's standard. He sees that blank paper. He sees someone who is perfect, and he declares us acceptable. Not because we have somehow managed to pull out all the stops and actually reach that bar of perfection as if we ever could. And not because we've pulled off the ultimate masked deception and fooled God into thinking that we have. But simply because he stepped down and did it for us. Becoming a Christian is simply choosing to take part in that exchange. In admitting that you can't meet the standard, but trusting in Jesus to do it for you. It's that verse I read from Romans, for all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious standard. It goes on, yet now God, in his gracious kindness, declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. So all of this, all of the stuff about freedom, all of those deep longings and desires that we have in our hearts, it actually all comes down to Jesus. Maybe tonight you have a longing to have that clean whiteness, maybe you recognize in your life, things that feel like those ink stains. And you feel like, how could anyone ever accept me if they really knew me, if they saw the stains? So I just have to hide. Just have to keep myself hidden. Well, Jesus will give you his clean white sheet. The Bible says we can be washed whiter than snow. Maybe you long to have a new identity. Maybe you long to have one that feels secure and unshakable and doesn't change according to what the world says today and what the world says tomorrow. Well, in John 1, verse 12, it says that those who accept Jesus receive the right to be called children of God. That becomes your new identity, God's children, adopted into his family, unchanging for all eternity, God's children. Maybe you long to see change in your life. Well, once we become his children, God takes us on this lifelong journey of transformation where he makes us more and more like Jesus, more and more like that pure white sheet that he's already given us. And maybe you long to be free. Free from the fear of what others think. Free at last to be yourself. To be vulnerable and know that you are loved and accepted. Well, God's voice and God's opinion is the one that really counts. And he says that we are known, accepted, and dearly loved. And how do we know that he loves us? Because he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to meet that standard for us. And all we need to do is accept the exchange and let him work his freedom, the freedom he's already won for us, into our lives. Those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. Those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. So I guess my challenge to you is to start listening to the right voice today. We're going to spend a little bit of time praying now and responding to that. And I think that as I've been talking, the Holy Spirit's been perhaps putting some things in your heart, speaking to you. And that's what he loves to do. He loves to speak to us. So I'm just going to invite the band up as well. And the first thing I want to do is just, for those who maybe are feeling like they've never actually made that exchange, they've never actually stepped into that freedom, and they want to do that tonight, I want to just give us the chance to do that. So if you'd all just like to bow your heads. And I'm gonna pray a prayer. And if you tonight can see that you really want to take part in that exchange, you want to offer Jesus your messed up, inky bit of paper and have in exchange his clean, white one, you can just pray these words along with me in your heart, and he will hear them. Jesus, I know that I can't meet the standard. I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I mess up, and I'm sorry. But thank you that you came to meet the standard for me. Thank you that you died on the cross so that I could be free. And I accept the exchange. I want to lay all of my mess down at your feet, at the foot of the cross, and I want to take on instead that clean white sheet. I want to become a child of God. Help me to follow you. Help me to walk in the freedom that you've won for me. And if that was you tonight, just with everybody's head still bowed, everybody's eyes closed, if you just want to raise your hand and catch my eye, just looking around. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Father, thank you for those people tonight who've just stepped into that exchange. Lord, would they just know your nearness right now? And Father, I just want to pray for all of us tonight. I want to thank you for your incredible love for us. I want to thank you that you knew each and every person in this room before the creation of the world. Thank you that you saw each and every person in this room as they were formed in their mother's womb. Thank you that you see each and every person in this room right now. You see what's in their heart. Father, would you just help us to walk in that freedom? In the freedom of being known and loved by you. In that freedom that you've won for us. Father, thank you that nothing that we did yesterday or didn't do yesterday, nothing that we will do tomorrow or won't do tomorrow can affect how much you love us. We want to step into that freedom now. We want to listen to your voice.